Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 14, verse 8 this morning. Acts chapter 14 and verse 8. And it was funny, he told that story about the sleep study. They wanted me to have one of those tomorrow night. So I hope they do get the switches turned right. It don't sound like many people sleep when they do a sleep study, because they've got them wired up so much, and then they want you to sleep. But anyway, just a remembrance, and also they're trying to work on my sugar a little bit more. I'm kind of uncompliant on taking my insulin sometimes the way I ought to, and checking my sugar, so pray for me that I'd get better control and get things the way they need to be. He said everything else looked great if I could just get my A1C down. So I thank God for that, and we'll work on the other. So I just thank him that he watches over us and takes care of us when we don't have sense enough to do it ourselves. And I'm glad that he gives us so many blessings. I thought about him when I was out on that cruise ship, because I knew they was taking the cruise. And then when I heard that one had to fire on the engine in the engine room and all that, I thought there'd be a lot of people probably going to be second thinking about going on these cruises, because now that's two that's had fires, and then there's one that's laying on its side still up there. And it makes you wonder if the captain's doing what he ought to do and different things. Then they talk with these budget cuts that may be going to effect, that some of the airplane signal towers are going to be shut down because they're not going to have the money to be able to fund them. And we have enough trouble with the ones that's operating with them having collisions and different things. So, Lord, help us if they cut back on those kind of things and all these things. And things going on, and people talking about people buying up ammunition, going to use it to trade so when the doomsday hits that they're going to have something they can buy with, because money not going to be worth anything. Boy, I'm glad I done took care of all that a long time ago. Whenever I trusted Jesus, I don't have to worry about needing no money whenever the doomsday hits. Thank God it's going to be a glorious day for God's church, that we're going to be able to move on up hither and move up to where God's at. And I thank him for that. And I thank him that he's still able today, though there's many today that's not walking after God. We're going to talk about a man for just a few moments of time here at the first part of the chapter who was his feet didn't work and wasn't able to walk, was a cripple from birth. Let me tell you, we were all cripples from birth, because we were all lost, dying, and going to hell without Jesus. But I'm thankful that he saw fit to give us a salvation that would give us strength for our feet, that would give us the marrow in the bones to give them strength, and that we can rise up and that we can walk for God and walk in God's goodness. But let me tell you, we have to meet Jesus just as this man was set there by the roadside waiting for Peter and them to come by and to be able to speak to him that he might have some strength to fix his feet, a miracle for God that could be a blessing for God, that could get people's attention. Let me tell you, God's trying to get our attention this morning, but there's many that have deaf ears that need to be opened. There's many with crippled feet that are not walking. There's many with blinded eyes that are not seeing. There's many with deaf ears that are not listening. And there's many with dumb tongues that are not telling. And today we need the touch from God to give us strength in all these areas and to give him praise. Now in verse 8 of chapter 14 of Acts, it says, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked." Now, they were given the background for a reason. There wasn't no trickery going to be involved. This wasn't one of those scams that was set out there to make it look like he was crippled, that they were going to come by and speak to him and he's going to rise to his feet. They knew his history. They knew that he had been crippled from birth and that there was no way possible that he could do this on his own. And it was given to us that we would know for an assurity that God performed a miracle. God performed a miracle in my life when he saved me. God's performed miracles in my life ever since and even before to get me to the point where I was at, that I could receive him, that he could provide the miracle to me that I needed for salvation, that he protected me and watched over me. Though I wasn't his child, he still dealt with my heart, that he could strengthen me, that I could stand for him. And he's still doing it today. It says, "The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said unto with a loud voice, Stand up upright on thy feet, and he leapt and walked." It didn't say that he hunkered around. It didn't say that he crawled around for a while. It said that he leapt up and he walked. Let me tell you what we need to do today. We got too many that have had a healing touch of God and we're not leaping up and walking. We're sitting by the wayside and we're growing weary and we're going back to sleep. Let me tell you, I don't know what it is, but when we put our rear ends in contact with a seat, our bodies get sleepy, because we've got so much going on in our world around us. We got so much much that we're involved in that when we sit down for a second, the first thing we do, especially me, if I put my feet up, my eyelids go together. And we've got so involved with everything that's going on, whenever we sit down for a minute, we go to sleep. And we've sat down on God. We're not leaping up and walking. We're not telling. We're not sharing it like we one time was. We don't have the concern for the lost as we one time did. They would have prayer meetings in homes for the lost and dying. They would take time to share the Word of God with someone else. They would reach out and say, whatever you need, I'll be there for you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray with you. And living lives in front of people. It was said this morning on the radio that your kids hear more by what you do than what you say. And it's so true, others are watching you and will hear more of what you do than what you say. And by living a life that's pleasing unto God, they're going to see what God wants us to share with this world. We see so many things that's on TV, they say is the new normal. Let me tell you, the normal is what God said needs to be normal. Following after God's Word, not these other things that they're proclaiming to be normal in the world today. And it starts at home. We want to blame every other place, but it starts at home by teaching our kids what normal ought to be and what abnormal is by what God's Word says. Live by the truth. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lycaonians, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Now let me tell you, that's the same way it happens today. Somebody starts preaching hard and a few people get saved and they start treating them like gods. And let me tell you what can happen. They can get lifted up to the point where they think that they are. And then they are set up for a fall. Let me tell you, it's all by the power of God that anything's done, that anything's accomplished, that hearts can be moved, that lives can be changed. It's all by God. It's not by the man that's standing behind the book board. We have to be obedient, but it's still all the power of God. And if we're not willing to let God move in our life, it's not going to happen. But these people saw Paul here, and the ones that was with him saw him as gods. And they're going to try to lift them up. Now, Paul wasn't going to stand for this, and we'll see what he says here in just a moment. It says, "Then the priest of Jupiter." See, they was into astrology because they had priests of Jupiter that were there. Today we study the stars. People want to know what their horoscope's going to be. Let me tell you, if you're going to trust in that, won't you just read this book? God will tell you what your future can hold in your life. Don't worry about what the future holds. Worry about what you can do for God now in the present. God will take care of the future. It's all in His control. If you knowed what was going to happen tomorrow, you'd drive you crazy till it got here. If you knowed you was going to go out and wreck tomorrow, would you go get out in your car? But boy, if somebody put that in your horoscope, you'd believe it and you'd sit at home all day. I had fortune cookies the other night. They said, if you want that fortune to come true, you eat the cookie. Well, I ain't ever liked them fortune cookies. I eat them anyway. And I took the papers out first. But I didn't believe that fortune was going to come true just because somebody stuck a random piece of paper in a fortune cookie and I got it. I know what God said. A happy life is ahead of you. I know it is. That's not really predicting the future. I got a happy life ahead of me. And this other one said that you have a friendly heart and are well admired. We're a child of God. We should be. We should live a life that we would have a friendly heart. And that we would be well admired because we are children of God. Now, is everybody like me that I've ever come in contact with? No. If I liked everybody I've ever come in contact with? No. I can still love them. Don't mean I like what they do. They don't like what I do. But we can still come together. That big family that he was talking about. Families don't always agree on everything. Don't always see eye to eye, but they're still family. There's still a love that's there. And that's the way God wants us to be. He wants to have love. We're all different, but we're all the same. We're all children of God, saved the same way through the blood of Christ, which was before their city and brought oxen and garland into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. They said, "What are y'all doing? You're not going to sacrifice to us." Paul and Barnabas here at the time, what is going on? We don't want the recognition. Don't you sacrifice them animals to us? We're not gods. We're just servants of God. What's going on? But we see so many that when they saw this and the admiration that the people would have for them, that they get lifted up in pride. We've saw it happen. We've saw those that were on top of the heap. And when you get on the top, they ain't one way down. And there's many that's failed.
many that's failed. And saying, sirs, why do you these things? We are also men of like passion with you, and preaching to you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the seas and all things that are therein. God made all these things. I don't know why man thinks that he had anything to do with it. But so I've seen a few that think that they created the earth and that God's supposed to bow down to them and their wants and their wishes. If you want to make God laugh, you tell him your plans. If you want to have a secure life with Christ, you just ask him what his plan is for you. Show me, God, what it is. It's all in his book. If we'll look, he'll show us what we need to do in our lives. Living a life that is pleasing unto God. Paul and Barnabas, Paul became a great preacher, but he was a persecutor of the church until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Until the light shined around him, he was a persecutor of the church, of the Christians, because he was schooled in the law. And there's many today that are trying to still live by the law, but it's not good enough. It's not justifying. But Jesus' blood is. He will justify us through his righteousness. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God has blessed us so great in America that we've lost sight of where our blessings come from. We have lost sight of it. We get so much stuff from China. If somebody wanted to hurt the United States, all they'd have to do is attack China. It would cut off our supplies of the goods that we depend on every day. You say, oh, I don't buy nothing made in China. You better go to checking. There's more made in China than there is in the United States anymore. So if someone wanted to really hit us, they could hit us there. But we've depended on someone else other than God. And we've walked away from him, from our White House to our house. And it's sad to say that we've left God. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. They didn't want to listen to the words that they were sharing with them about them not being God. That God in time past had been with them and blessed them. And let the nations walk as they seen fit to walk and took care of them. But now he's saying to repent, to come to Jesus. That Jesus is the way to heaven. That Jesus is salvation. They didn't want to hear those things. It said, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium and persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Paul stood up for what he believed in and they stoned him. How many of us are willing to stand in the same place? People today are throwing stones, but it's not physical stones that we see. But they're throwing them down at the barber shop. They're throwing them down at the restaurant. They're throwing them on the street corner. They're throwing them at home. They're throwing them on the telephone at people's character with words that said. And once you say them, you can't bring them back. They're out there. They've done caused their hurt. No matter how much you apologize for them, no matter how much you try to bring it back, those words have done been spoken. The hurt has done been done. And it will take a God of love to help us to be able to get past those things and to put them in our past and not let them affect our future. But here we see that Paul stood for what he believed in was stoned. Took him out supposing him to be dead. There's many people that think they've killed your witness and they're trying to. But what you must do is stand up and stand strong. Not lay down and pretend you're dead. When I read that, I thought about whenever they say if a bear attacks, lay down and pretend you're dead. I don't believe I'd remember that when the bear attacked. I hope my feet would remember how to run. But we see that Paul was there and they thought he was dead. Had stoned him. Mark knows a little something about getting stoned. Whenever Darrell threw that rock at him and he was on his bicycle that time. Took him right off of it. And y'all thought I was talking about the other kind. I wasn't talking about being stoned on drugs either. That's a whole different meaning. That arrived in about the 60s and 70s, people being stoned. But we see all these things that's happening, and we see people that are throwing stones today. It's just like the lady that was brought to Jesus, caught in the very act of adultery, brought her to Jesus to tempt him to see what he would say. And he told him the first one that didn't have sin cast the first stone. Pretty soon, one by one, they left. Jesus rose up after he was writing on the ground and said, "Woman, where's thy accusers?" She said, "There's none left, Lord." And he said, "I'm not going to accuse you either." That's the love that God has. Though we're standing before him guilty, if we ask him, he'll forgive us of our sin. He'll forgive us of our sin. But we see here that they stoned him. Stoned Paul here. Thought he was dead, drug him out of the city. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. It didn't deter Paul. Oh, he probably bandaged up his wounds, what he had there, and rested for a little while, but on the morrow, he was right back to work, spreading the gospel. Right back out, telling what Jesus had done for him. There's been times that I had to take time to have a healing process to be able to stand again and do what God would have us do. There's times that we go through things that show to shape us and mold us into the Christians that we need to be. And it's important through those times of molding that we don't try to improve on it, that we just let God do the work. And we'll become the vessel that he's able to use. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. They left for a little while, but when they preached and taught others the message that they were trying to share with them at Lystra, they returned. They returned back to the point where they had stoned him. They returned back to the point where they were there that were of a different opinion, but they were still steadfast in their conviction about telling about Jesus and sharing what Jesus did. Can you just imagine the conversation? Maybe somebody that wasn't, maybe quite, that was in the band there, maybe not have as much conviction as Paul did, and say, "We're going back there? Are you sure it's a good idea? You like to die the last time we went." Paul said, "I've got a message. I've got a message to share. It doesn't matter what they do to me. I've got to tell them about Jesus. I've got to tell them about Jesus." Friend, are you willing to share that story? You're going to face adversity. There's going to be people say that they're atheists. Listen, there's not going to be no atheist at all. Everyone will believe in God. Everyone will believe in Jesus. For some, it will be too late. Do you have a friend or loved one that you want to see come to Jesus? You need to be calling out their name. You need to be standing there and telling them in a loving way. Don't walk up to them, put your finger in their face, say you're going to hell. They ain't going to listen. You've done shut the door before you started. You've got to share the love of God in a way that they'll be willing to hear. Maybe it's just living your life before them until they're willing to hear about being just as a lady. Want to know how to be part of that family? Because it seemed like every one of them knew each other. That's the way it ought to be. We've had people drop by in the last year and come in the doors of this church. Didn't know us. We didn't know them. They've been here. We may see them in heaven. But they just felt compelled that they needed to come in. Friend, I hope we have the same compelling spirit inside of us to compel us to go out and to reach those that are lost, to reach those that are in need, to make that stand as Paul and Barnabas did, to stand up and to share the Word of God. The band of disciples that were going out, few in number, but mighty in the Spirit. They didn't get deterred, though they went through many things. They faced death. We know that Herod and different ones sought their life, killed them. John's the only one that lived to die of a natural death. But God loved them and used them that we can still read their account and know what we need to do today, to know what we need to do in our lives, to know what we need to do in the church. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We're going to face troubles and trials here. We're going to go through good times. We're going to go through bad times. But God's going to be there with us through all of them. Through all of them. We're not going to face any of them alone. When I was in darkness, when I couldn't see, I wasn't alone. Yeah, I had my family around me, but God was even closer. God was even closer. We're never alone. God will walk with us through the darkest valleys of our life, that we can see the light on the other side. We have to trust Him. We have to count on Him. We have to be willing to stand up when they're throwing the stones, when we face persecution, when we face hardship, when the going gets tough, don't go running. Get down on your knees and ask God to help you. We've had to do a lot of praying more here in the last little bit, even more than we've been doing before for situations that we're in. As this life continues on, and will continue. And as you grow older, you find reason more to pray. You see more things that you know that only God can do. Amen. You don't try to take them on yourself because you know you can't. And that comes with maturing in Christ, that we just rely on Him. That we just rely on Him. Are you relying on Him today? Paul wasn't worried. He was... and his convictions very strong to tell the people, look, I'm just a man, not to be worshipped, not to be praised, but I'm just like you are. I was lost, and Jesus saved me, and He'll save you. He'll give you life today. And what did they try to do? Because He told them the truth, they tried to take His life. And thank God they couldn't take what God wasn't through with yet. God blessed him that he was able to recover from his wounds, to stand and once again preach His word. And He'll do the same for us. We've been wounded. We've been down, all of us. We've went through hard times. We've went through trials. But it's all part that when we stand up, that we're even stronger. When we get back to our feet than we were before, seeing how God has blessed us to come through on the other side, to see His blessing of love, that He doesn't leave us, that He is who He says He is. I am. I am, and that covers all things. Is the I am your I am today? Is He your Lord and Savior? Have you trusted Him? Have you took time in your schedule to meet with Jesus? If we don't have time sometime on our calendar, we don't take time to think about things. Friend, I'd suggest you get it on your schedule of things to talk with Him daily. Not when it's just convenient for you either. But make time for God. He made time for you when He went to the cross. Friend, if you're here today and you're lost, I'd suggest you make time now to receive Jesus as your Savior. He's waiting with His arms open wide to welcome you in. You must surrender to Him. As Paul surrendered to God, not knowing what God had in store for his life, I'm sure the last thing Paul probably thought when he was on his knees on the road to Damascus, and he was there and the light was around him and he was blind and he rose up and couldn't see, I'm sure the last thing on his mind was he's going to be a preacher for God. But God can use you. God can use a simple vessel to perform great and mighty works. Amen. If we'll only surrender. If we'll only surrender. When I was going to school with Mark and Tammy, I never thought that maybe they'd been in church or singing like they have today. But God knew. There's a lot of people that thought I'd never be up here. I was one of them. God knew. Amen. God knew. He don't see you for who you are. He sees you for what you can be. A child of the King. With abilities that come from heaven that are limitless if you'll only trust Him. Salvation is free today if you're lost. And all you have to do is ask Jesus to come in. If He's dealing with your heart and He's drawing you to Him, if it feels like inside of you that your chest is about to bust from your heart beating, that's God's conviction. That's God's conviction. He wants to save you this morning. Will you just surrender? As we stand to our feet, as Jill plays a selection upon the piano, every head bowed, all eyes closed, only God and myself looking across the congregation this morning. Are you here and you're lost, friend? God wants to save you. God wants to save you this morning, just as sure as we're in the building, and you made a choice to be in God's house for a reason this morning. And if you're lost, maybe it's for your salvation that Jesus has brought you this way this morning. Friend, I'd like for you to raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I want to be saved. I want you to pray for me. I'm praying for lost now, but I'd rather pray for you, but you know and you realize that you're in that lost state, that you need a Savior. Friend, do you realize you're lost? You can't be found. Do you realize you need Jesus? You don't know where to look for Him. Friend, He loves you and He's waiting this morning. Would you just lift your hand? Say, "Preacher, I'm lost and I want to be saved. Preacher, I've got a need this morning that you've not mentioned. I just want you to help me pray. God knows what my need is. But I just want to lift my hand and say, "Look, preacher, help me pray for my need." Would there be a hand anywhere? Anyone's got a need this morning? Say, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me." God bless that hand. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. Would there be any others? Just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me." Bless that hand. Would you just come to the altar, whatever your need might be? Whether you raised your hand or you didn't, come to the foot of the cross. Come to level ground. Bring your petitions to God. Call out your desires of your heart to Him. Bring your lost, your troubled, your dying. Bring those that are troubled in their spirit. Bring those that don't know it, the direction that they're going in, and that need a direction for the life, that God would give them the direction, give them guidance. Bring them to Jesus. If you need healing for your body, bring it to Jesus. If you're troubled in your spirit, bring it to Jesus. If you're sick in your body, bring it to Jesus. Because Jesus can answer. Will you come? Will you step out? You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand before You this morning just thanking You, God, for the ability once again to read and study Your Word, to be able to bring it, dear Heavenly Father, from Your precious Word. And dear God, as they perceive, Lord, and the gentleman having faith to believe that he could be healed, God, we know that there are some that are lost, that are wanting to be saved, but still yet are afraid to turn loose and trust You. God, I pray that You'd strengthen their unbelief. Dear God, that they would just surrender to You. God, that there's those that have prayer requests upon their heart that didn't raise a hand or voice them out loud, Lord, but God, You know their heart. Lord, that You just be with them. Those souls that are troubled, those souls that are seeking, dear God, help today, Lord, that You would be with them. And dear God, show them Your love. Dear Heavenly Father, for those that spiritually, dear God, are confused and, dear God, have not been taught Your Word, not been shown Your Word, but have been, dear God, taught hearsay, dear Heavenly Father, and different things from God's Word that's not there. Lord, that You'd help them to find the Word and find the truth, that it would lead them unto salvation through the precious Son, Jesus. God, we pray for our church that we'll stand as with the conviction of Paul and Barnabas, Lord, the different ones that we read about, Peter, dear God, and the other disciples as they stood, as they gave their life in trying to further the gospel of Jesus. God, we pray that our convictions would be strong, that You would help us in our weakness and strengthen us. Dear Heavenly Father, and in our strengths, dear Heavenly Father, that You would bring weakness, that we would surrender to You and trust You, that we wouldn't rely on our own strengths, but we would rely on Your strength. God, I pray for these that have come this morning to the altar. God, whatever their petitions might be, that You would answer according to Your will. Dear Heavenly Father, always help us to keep You in the forefront. Remove us, dear Heavenly Father, that You may be seen. Dear God, that we will not be remembered, but Your Word will. And dear God, what You have done for us as a church, we thank You. God, you have performed so many miracles in the past 4 years that we've seen, dear Heavenly Father, and been witness of here in this church. And dear God, with people that we're around and acquainted with, you are such a mighty God. And dear Lord, we pray that you'd help us to remember that. Dear God, that in our weakness that you are our strength. And dear Heavenly Father, that the strength that you embody us with, dear God, is a strength that is from everlasting to everlasting. God, I pray that you would touch those of the church body here that are sick, that you'll give them strength. For the bones that need knitting back together, that you'll move those. For the bones in the feet that need to move, dear God, and be put back in place, God, that you move those. For Greg Blevins and his ankle, Lord, that you would fuse those bones, dear God, and strengthen his ankle and give him the ability to walk and be able to get around. Dear Heavenly Father, there's so many that are sick, so many that are in need, so many today that are contemplating committing suicide because they have no other way to turn. They feel like, Lord, we pray that they will see you, dear Heavenly Father, and that they'll turn their lives over to you, that you can make a difference. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that there's so many that are searching for something, God. They talk about the things that they have in life being so bad. Dear God, maybe they just need to go somewhere else and get a better supply. God, we thank you that you're always there, and that your store is always full of hope, of grace, of mercy, of faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that prayer in abundance is always available. And dear God, that salvation is enough to save the world. Lord, we pray that people will surrender to you, not rely on their knowledge, but upon your love. Go with us, dear Heavenly Father, and bless us. Always put a guard about our lips that we'd never say anything contrary to thy word. Continue to bless our church that we're so fortunate to be part of, God's church, God's people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.